Another PMQs. Aren't you excited?
I'm always excited. In fact, I'm especially excited this week because I can't wait to listen to this bunch of cowardly quizlings. What are they going to do? They're going to probably blame everyone but themselves. And I'm going to guess there's going to be a lot of slurs. I'm going to go with EDL, far right, all that stuff.
How is that heater in your bladder?
It's maximum heat, mate. It's going to explode. Boy, it's boiling down there.
Right, well, let's get straight into it. Here we go.
Yeah.
This is Giles Watling.
Here. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Number one, if you please.
Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, I know the thoughts of the whole House will be with the friends and family of Lord Cormac and Bonnie Campbell. They were dedicated parliamentarians. Mr. Speaker, this morning I had meetings with ministerial colleagues and others. In addition to my duties in this House, I shall have further such meetings later today.
Does Watling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank my right honourable friend for his answer. Now, I'm certain that everyone in this chamber will agree.
I'll let this one go until we get to Keir. All right.
Speak okay. And vote without fear or favour. Yeah. But today I need to ask about the painful subject of dental care in Clacton, which is in crisis. Our ICS has found the money and a private firm has found the students to massively increase dental appointments in my patch. However, paper pushers in the NHS England keep citing spurious reasons to prevent this groundbreaking initiative being deployed. Does my right honourable friend agree with me that this is scandalous and should be dealt with and those people blocking it held to account?
Yeah. Prime Minister.
Well, our dentistry recovery plan will make dental services faster, simpler and fairer for patients, including in Clacton, and will fund around 2.5 million more appointments. On the matter that my honourable friend raises, as he'll know, this is a local matter, so the Integrated Care Board will determine if they wish to support the pilot proposal in Clacton. But I know that the Minister for Public Health has written to my honourable friend about the proposal, and I hope her letter addresses his concerns.
We come to leave the opposition, Keir Starmer.
Can I join with the Prime Minister in his remarks about Lord Cormac and Ronnie Campbell? A Tory MP spent last week claiming that Britain is run by a shadowy cabal made up of activists, the deep state, and most chillingly of all, the Financial Times. At what point did his party give up on governing and become the political wing of the Flat Earth Society?
Well, I was right, wasn't I? Here come the slayers.
Mr. Speaker.
I can't... It's just... Again, it's just starting off. It's just insults.
Yeah.
It's not a real question. Well, let's see what his answer is. Here we go.
Mr. Speaker, another week where the Honourable Member is just sniping from the sidelines because he has absolutely nothing that he can say what we do. What we're getting on with, Mr. Speaker, is delivering on the people's priorities. The number of small boats down by a third, Mr. Speaker. NHS performance improving, inflation continuing to fall. And Mr. Speaker, not only that...
I'm sorry, but... That's not really an answer to anything. And it wasn't a proper question, to be honest with you. It was a snipe at him. Mm. And the guy has got nothing really to say. So now he's just repeating what he said in previous PMQs.
Yeah.
You know, the number on the boat's down. Inflation, down.
Wait until the sun comes out a bit more often. Them figures are going back up. Yeah. Shouldn't the first question have been, how are we going to prevent Parliament being intimidated and
correct.
Save our country from
exactly.
a dangerous threat? No, as I said, and it was so obvious because these people are so predictable. What did they just say? There's going to be loads of slurs thrown around.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning of it because that's all Labour have got. They caused this mess last week.
Correct.
Well, to a degree.
I think they did.
Self-induced fear. They're all in denial again, John, aren't they, hiding from this?
Let's hear what he's got to say. Here we
continue.
Go.
Significant tax cut for millions of working Britons. While his incoherent energy plans would put taxes up for everyone across the country.
Mr. Speaker, his predecessor spent last week in America trying to flog her new book. In search of fame and wealth, she's taken to slagging off
Deflection.
They made her Prime Minister, now they can't bear talking about her. In search of fame and wealth, she's taken to slagging off and undermining Britain at every opportunity. She claimed that as Prime Minister she was sabotaged by the deep state.
Correct.
She also remained silent as Tommy Robinson, that right-wing thug,
was described as a hero. Right-wing narrative,
that right-wing thug. That right-wing thug was one of the few people that was actually shouting about the problem of Islam years and years and years before any of these problems came up.
It's so frustrating. I say this all the time, but there they are attacking the symptoms while totally ignoring the problem that they are so petrified of. They wouldn't even leave Parliament last week. They're not going to bring that up, no.
Yeah.
Self-induced fear, mate.
Well,
people have got to go.
They've sent out a memo. They must have sent out a memo to say, push the right-wing agenda.
So let's just get this one straight. Someone should have asked. So this the next question should be, this £30 million you're all spending on security for a problem that doesn't exist, is that from threats from the imaginary Nazis, far right, and all them running around?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Honestly, John, these people infuriate me so much.
Here we go.
Why is he allowing her to stand as a Tory MP at the next election?
Well, Mr. Speaker, I don't believe a single member of this House supports Tommy Robinson.
Oh,
that's your problem.
That's it.
That's all you, John.
Why is it? Why are they all focusing in? Because he is their poster boy for right-wing fascist. And the actual issue is, he's not a right-wing fascist.
No, but the issue is they're all big, scaredy cowards and are attacking the people, the one man who's actually not a coward.
No.
Interesting.
Yeah. Let's hear what else he's got to say. Here we go.
I just knew this was going to happen.
It's just same old, isn't it?
Oh, they're like robots, mate, droids.
About former leaders and predecessors. The whole country knows his record because he sat there while anti-Semitism ran rife.
Oh, he's going to refer to Corbyn.
And not once, but twice, backed a man who called Hamas friends, Mr. Speaker.
There you go.
To their credit, the Shadow Chancellor, the Shadow Home Secretary, and indeed the Shadow Foreign Secretary, refused to back the former Labour leader. But he didn't, because he's spineless, hopeless, and utterly shameless.
Ooh, what an insult.
Look at his face. He's got him though, hasn't he?
Yep.
Look at Starboard's face. It's that nervous laugh where he's thinking, oh, he's right, isn't he? I am spineless and shameless.
You think he wouldn't be able to get up if he was spineless?
Mr. Speaker, I've changed my party for the better. He is being changed by his party. The reason he's letting her stand, it's because he's too weak to do anything about it.
I agree with that. He is weak. There's no two ways about that.
Yeah, but what they're doing is they're using slurs. I've got nothing to do with it. Like, someone's name is mentioned in a sentence in their presence, and they're now using that name that they believe will slur people.
Yeah.
Pathetic.
The corporate world and, bizarrely, the President of the United States. Winston Churchill once said, the price of greatness is responsibility. Now, I don't think the British public are expecting greatness from this Prime Minister, just a bit of accountability. So doesn't think it would be great if, just for once, the Tories actually took some responsibility.
Wow, I think you all need to take responsibility.
About change, but when I learnt of something that I didn't agree with, I suspended one of my MPs straight away. But when he learned of vile anti-Semitic remarks made by a Labour candidate, what did he do, Mr. Speaker? He instructed his team to defend him. He sent a shadow cabinet minister to campaign for him, and he personally backed him for days. And that's the difference between us. I act on my principles. He hasn't got any.
Oh, mate, you know, normally when we're saying they're arguing about who's the most useless,
yeah,
I think they're arguing here of who's less of a coward. Well, I've sacked one more than you. How about sack all of them and yourselves? Move aside and let people who've got our best interests run this country.
It's just kids squabbling in the playground.
And it shows the reason why we're in so much trouble.
Because shouldn't they be talking about the elephant in the room is what you were talking about before, about what actually happened in Parliament last week? Nobody wants to talk about it.
No, because, and I keep saying this, sorry to repeat myself, but they're just feeding the crocodile hoping it's going to eat them last, and they'll still be shouting this nonsense, racist and far right, as their last foot goes down its jaws.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Oh, here we go.
I can't believe he's saying it with a straight face. The former Prime Minister continued on her American odyssey. This work, this journey into the wild west of her mind. She also claimed, Mr. Speaker, that Nigel Farage is the man to restore the Tory party. Can the Prime Minister confirm whether he too would welcome Mr. Farage back into the Tory
fold? Here we go, we've got the full set. Tommy Robinson, Nigel Farage, just waiting for far right now.
Oh, God.
Pathetic bunch of cowards.
So now they're discussing the possibility of Nigel Farage joining the Conservatives again whilst they could be talking about something else, solving real problems.
Because they're petrified again, John, because if Nigel Farage comes in, they know what's going to happen. He'll be the main man.
Yeah.
They're not cool anymore. They're far right. But yeah. They're the cool ones now. Look at the following Trump has and Farage when he goes to Conservative events.
I can't wait for Trump to get back in, because I think as soon as he does, I think what will happen is these pipsqueaks here will start jumping to his tune. And all this other shit that's going on, you know, within the country, the migrants and all the rest of that stuff, he's just going to turn around to him and say, we're putting up borders. I mean, don't let me dictate what you can do, but if you don't start paying attention, we're not going to trade with you. We'll just stop the trade deals. It's as simple as that. And he will do that. He will do it.
Wait till these clowns are in power, mate. And they feel the wrath of the deep state.
Oh, Jesus. The real deep state.
These won't last 5 minutes, mate.
Nah, arseholes.
In our party, we have a proud tradition of diversity and accepting everyone from every background. And it is a proud record that puts Labour to shame, Mrs.
Diversity, right?
Arsehole.
Bullshit artist after bullshit artist. And it... The only diverse thing about them is that they'll pick somebody of a different colour or a different race, but it's still bullshit.
Yeah, but John, it's not because they're good at the job, it's because of their race.
Correct.
It's an equality pick. Yep. I'm not being funny, but diversity really did not look like their strength last week when they were all petrified to leave Parliament. And diversity is such a strength, it's going to cost them 30 million now to be safe.
Yeah, well, 31 million.
Oh, how cute. Yeah. Oh, 31 million.
31 million, yeah.
3 weeks.
Just, God. Never mind the heater in your bladder. Mine is starting to tick over right now, tell you.
This is the party that delivered the first Jewish prime minister, the first female prime minister, the first black chancellor, the first Muslim home secretary, and now led by the first British Asian prime minister.
You're right, he was talking about Disraeli.
He can't take credit for that.
It's the Conservatives that represent modern Britain.
Oh, mate, these need a new barrel. He scraped a hole in the bottom of this one.
Tell you.
So this diverse Tory party just welcomed Nigel Farage, the Prime Minister, two months ago, the Prime Minister said, the Tory party is a broad church. I welcome lots of people who want to subscribe to our ideals and our values. This is the same Nigel Farage who said he agreed with the basic premise of Enoch Powell's Rivers of Blood speech and bemoaned the influence of the Jewish lobby. So is the Prime Minister simply...
Enoch Powell was Bob on, mate.
He didn't tell any lies,
well, he wasn't
did
far
he?
Off, was he? I think he probably got the wrong group of people.
No, I think he was pretty much on the button. He was talking to a certain demographic.
I think he got the wrong one. That's all.
Yeah. No, I go with that. I go with that.
TV presenters, or does he genuinely think Nigel Farage shares the ideals and values of the Tory party?
Mr. Speaker, he wants to talk about values, but tomorrow in Rochdale, the people will have a choice of three former Labour candidates, two of which are anti-Semites, Mr. Speaker. The truth is, his party is so mired in hate that despite three ex-Labour candidates standing, he can't back a single one of them. Speaker, it's because we expel anti-Semites, he makes them Labour candidates.
I'm surprised he hasn't thrown the old Islamophobia, blah, blah, blah. No, it's coming, isn't it? It's got to come.
If it does, I don't think they'll mention it, but...
No, they don't want to discuss the actual issue. They just want to have a little slanging
match.
They're
all dancing around it.
Oh, who's the most racist? No. God's sake.
The way that I'm looking at this, it's almost the same as the way this guy in Canada does it with Trudeau. You know, he comments on these things. Nothing happens. There is no real business being tackled in the House.
Oh, but some patriots pull up outside in some trucks and they're not happy. You've got to literally, like, cancel them, take their money, put them in jail.
Do you know, I'd love it.
Done that, mate.
I would invite all the French farmers to come across and do us a favor and just spray the Houses of Parliament and all the Palestinian protesters. Just spray them with a muck spreader. And just
English just builders to build the wall around.
And then that's it. You know, do these things. I mean, you know, they do things right in France. When they complain about something or protest about something, they do it properly.
Yeah.
The truth is, these are no longer the Tories your parents voted for, and the public can see it. The Prime Minister has lost control of his party to the hordes of recruits and malcontents, the tinfoil hat brigade over there, the extremists who wreck the economy.
Oh, this is just like being on Twitter, again, these delusional lefties.
These people are getting paid huge sums of money to talk and discuss the real business of this country. Oh, Jesus.
Man. They're a walking contradiction. When our Labour now, the working man's party with Keir flip-flop at the top. Sorry, like, but... Oh, jeez.
And Angela, let's make a few pounds on, you know, interest on my house that I've sold. You know, sorry. They're not the working man's party anymore. I don't know of any Labour supporters, true Labour supporters, that actually really do have any faith in him.
No, they all think he's a Tory. I've spoken to hundreds of them. They'll be lucky if they get any votes in this election. I don't know where this landslide's coming from, John, but...
Well, yeah, you might be right there. You might be right.
I think we might pip it, like, well, where this landslide's coming from? Nowhere. Think about it, all those people who, in the last election, were all, the majority were, like, Corbynistas.
Yeah.
If they're not voting for them, who are?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nigel Farage, now giving up and dancing to his tune instead.
Mr. Speaker, utterly shameless from someone who stood by while anti-Semitism ran rife in his party, saw the appalling situation in Rochdale and twice backed the member for Islington North. And in the last few homes, Mr. Speaker, last few weeks, we've seen members of Parliament's homes surrounded, their events disrupted, council meetings threatened, and just last week, we saw the very rules that govern this place abused because of intimidation, Mr. Speaker. While he might want to bend to mob rule, we will face down the extremists and stand up for British value.
Yeah. Of course you will, mate. That's why we're in this mess in the first place, because you didn't.
Correct.
Oh, God. We will we? All right, yeah, whatever.
Do you know what? I can't even
be... Is this finished yet?
Yeah, I can't even be bothered waiting to listen to Stephen Flynn. I'll be honest with you. I think because the only other thing I think he's going to talk about is Gaza.
Oh, go on, we'll have a laugh about that.
All right, let's have a look here.
will never waver.
Okay, we're ready for Stephen Flynn. Stephen Flynn, there you go.
Mr. Speaker, 30,000 people dead, 70,000 injured, 1.5 million sheltering in Rafah, 300,000 living in what is considered to be feral conditions in northern Gaza, and of course 100 hostages still tragically held by Hamas. It is the horror of those numbers that demands that this House have its say, just as it is the horror of those numbers that show that this House should demand an immediate ceasefire. Now, President Biden has indicated that that ceasefire may take place from Monday. Does the Prime Minister share in his confidence?
Prime Minister.
Well, Mr. Speaker, we have consistently called for an immediate humanitarian pause which would allow for the safe release of hostages, including British nationals, and more aid to reach Gaza. We welcome progress on a deal. As the honourable gentleman said, there has been progress, and we urge everyone on all sides to seize the opportunity. And I've been clear that we must seize the momentum from this terrible tragedy to find a lasting resolution to this conflict, which delivers on the promise of a two-state solution and ensures that Israelis and Palestinians can live in dignity and security.
Stephen Flynn.
Mr. Speaker, we're now approaching 5 months since this conflict first began. And in that time, this House has equivocated, and this government on three occasions at the United Nations has abstained when it could have voted for a ceasefire. Abstentionism is not leadership. So can I ask the Prime Minister, should this matter now come before the United Nations with a ceasefire potentially in sight, will he use his government's vote in order to deliver that ceasefire?
Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, we support the United States draft resolution that was discussed with colleagues at United Nations last week. But just calling for an immediate full ceasefire now, which collapses back into fighting within days or weeks, and indeed does not release
This is business.
British hostages is not in anyone's interest. We must.
Do you get what I'm saying?
A permanent ceasefire, and that starts.
I mean, I know humanitarian loss of life's bad for the Israelis here, literally on the verge of destroying Hamas.
I know.
They want them to stop.
And in this country, we should be proud of everything we are doing to help them and provide them the life-saving aid that they deserve.
Dr. Jamie Wallace.
Well, there you go. That's it. He gets two questions. Now, actually, that is probably the only real business of the key players in the House talking about that, and that sounded a little bit more sensible.
I actually prefer, you know, the questions from the backbenchers and the MPs asking about stuff in their own communities rather than that slanging match at the start, but I suppose it's not as exciting, is it?
No, but you see, the thing is, the point is, you've got to show that the real conversations which should be taking place, which aren't between the key players, is actually making a mockery of Parliament.
We need a strong leader here with a Prime Minister who can stand up and say, look, mate, I know what you're doing, but that's need to be tackling the important issues here, and this slanging match isn't helping, mate.
No, that's all it was. It was just a slanging match, and I can't say any side won.
No. It's just like being on social media and having an argument with someone, and then everyone thinks they've won, and when you end up calling each other names because arguments are just going round in circles.
Correct.
Honestly, this is the whole social media thing. It's rubbing off into real life.
It is.
This is the way we are now.
The one thing I can say is I can't tell who won between the two of them, but I can tell you who lost, and that is the British public, because we're paying for that.
It's just an embarrassment.
It is.
No wonder we're in such trouble with idiots like this.
Let's call it there. And I'm going to send messages out to some of our friends in other countries just to say, oh, look, you know, sorry, this isn't very interesting, but there you go.
Yeah, I think rules need to change in Parliament. I don't think they should be called honourable or right honourable anything anymore.
No, because they're not.
I think they've lost the right. Like, seriously lost the right.
Well, here we go. On a very disappointing note, very happy to get together with you again, sir, but I'm not happy with that stuff at all.
Pathetic, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You need some adults to run the country. Maybe. one day.
No real discussion of what went on at all.
Slanging match.
Okay, sir. I'll bid you adieu.
Likewise, sir. Take care.